Okay, thank you, Marcia. Okay, and our last two speakers are going to talk to us. They have a different view of the institution, or at least a different place to view the institution from, by their positions in the institution. They are, at heart, you have to remember, sometimes we always forget this, but they are professors to start with, but they are have administrative positions in the university where they are responsible for a faculty or some major entity in the institution. So our first speaker that's going to talk about this is the Dean of Science, Professor Martin Grant.
Okay, thanks, Nigel, and thanks for inviting me. So I'm glad I showed up early. One of my students canceled on me, so I was able to get here at 10:30 and hear the other talks because I thought I would only be able to make it here at 11. And it's sort of interesting to me, the other talks. It makes me think fundamentally, what are we doing at the university? What is the university for? What is the basis of the university? And I think fundamentally a university is about the creation of knowledge, the dissemination of knowledge, the validation of that knowledge that we disseminate. And the roots of it go back 500 years for a very interesting reason. And the reason we've been a successful institution, unlike a lot of other institutions, has at its base a root, which is based on that creation, validation, dissemination of knowledge. Universities arose from the Enlightenment, 500, 600 years ago. And the Enlightenment is where a lot of other concepts start as well, the idea of pluralism, of humanism, of agnosticism, of atheism. All of that comes out of the ideas that were the radical, cutting-edge ideas of that time. And at the root of all of those things, where the university comes from, are things that we take for granted now, but are essential to how we do things. The ideas of universal access to the institution, the idea of universal knowledge that we can share, and a validation of that knowledge through the scientific method. In a university, an idea is correct or incorrect, not because somebody says it loudly or quietly, or because Bill Clinton likes it or doesn't like it. They have a very strict rule set of how we determine something is right or not. We have the scientific method, which says if you have an idea, we'll provide a test for it. And what's interesting to me about providing a test for an idea to see if it's correct or not is that the idea is that if a test is provided of an idea and it turns out to be correct, you assume that will be sufficient to convince people. The whole idea of the scientific method is not only that we have this sort of magic cookbook which tells us where real knowledge comes from, but when we do this and we provide the test and we convince people, supposedly, we're actually telling people that we have a respect for other people, that they'll be convinced by rational arguments. This, I think, is the root of the university where everybody in this sort of intellectual hothouse climate can pull off from. I was walking here today and from Dawson Hall or something, and there's all these advertisements up everywhere, and sometimes I wonder where the world's going to. It seems as if the rest of the world is living in the realm of the senses, and the only people left who live in the realm of ideas, the realm of innovation, are here in the universities. There's no greater respect for the intellectual weight of ideas, correct ideas in the way I've mentioned, than at the universities. So that's, I think, where we push off at a university, and I think that's why we're here for 500 years. I think that's the strength of the place, and if it didn't work like that, we would have changed the place. McGill's an interesting institution, too. I have to think about this, too, as I'm doing my present job. We've been here for almost 200 years, and I'm sure you've heard, since it's almost like every McGill publication says it now, that we're ranked, 18th, I think, in the world, supposedly, yeah. So, you know, I suppose it's good. I didn't feel any better when I woke up that we were 18th this year or 20th the year before, but it's certainly better than being 100th, I guess. But if we ask about that, what is the cause in which we're so highly ranked in the world? I'd say fundamentally it's the quality of our students here, particularly the quality of the undergraduate students that have been here. And which comes down at least partly to location, I think, and we're living in a great city in a great province, and we've taken advantage of that for many years. But there's more to it than that. There's a quality of the education that we provide at the university. And the other thing, which I'm sure you heard about tediously over and over again, was that two people who were graduates of the university won Nobel Prizes in medicine and in physics, I guess 2 weeks ago. Jack Szostak won it for how chromosomes interact with cells and how they help cells to live and they prevent cell death and things like that. What's interesting is that he worked as an undergraduate on botany. Okay. The other guy that won a Nobel Prize was Willard Boyle, and he won it for how basically CCD things work, which is in all the propaganda on it, it's about how digital cameras work, but they're used basically in some issues in chemistry and physics of how to be able to photograph things and be able to take images of things in unusual conditions, and it's become a big technological thing. Now, his background at McGill, he got 3 degrees here, was in nuclear physics, nothing to do with what he worked on later. What's interesting for me there is that it's the quality of the... here's my punchline. I might as well tell you this as well, although it's not that sort of talk here today. So I can't guarantee that every student who gets a BSc at McGill will get a Nobel Prize, but it seems like at least it's a necessary condition is my joke line for that. But the point I'm making, I guess, is clear. The value of the education we provide is such that people can take the tools that they get here and then they make an impact later on the basis of that tool set that they have. Oh, no pictures, please, Kathleen. If we look at where we are right now at McGill, it's fundamentally the most interesting time that I can recall in all the years I've been here. I've been here since 86. You know, it's always been a good school. Students have always been really, really smart. What's changed at the university is the quality of our staff. Over the last, 7, 8 years, we've been hiring 100 professors a year. We've been hiring 100 professors a year when the Americans have not been hiring, when there's a Canada research chair program, when for science and engineering there's been a Quebec tax holiday, when the Canadian dollar has gone up from 62 cents to a dollar. So we have actually been able to hire some of the best professors in the world in this university. Most of the professors in the university right now have been hired since about 2001, 2002. In my faculty, it's like 75%. We're ranked 18th in the world when all the professors are a bunch of 35-year-old kids starting their careers. Okay? So what are these 35-year-old kids doing right now? This finally... I'll talk about the nature of the Rethink conference you guys are having. If I look around, we started longer ago than this, but the Faculty of Science in partnership with Arts and Agriculture were the founding faculties of McGill School of Environment. Over the last few years, we've introduced the first BSc in Earth System Science within Canada. In a couple of weeks, in November, I can't remember when exactly, not November 15th or something, 19th. November 19th, we'll have the Lauren Trache Public Science Symposium on geoengineering or mitigation. How do we fix the environment? We started the Lauren Trache Symposium, 5 years ago. The first one was on climate change as well. We have in development, I haven't seen it yet, but a BSc in sustainability is coming from the Department of Geography. There are field studies programs in Africa, in Panama, Barbados. There are research programs taking place in departments of what you'd expect, in geography, Redpath Museum, biology, but where you wouldn't expect as well, as you mentioned, in chemistry and green chemistry. We're finalizing within the university a Canada Excellence Research Chair application in the field of green chemistry. And one thing that was interesting to me is that we have these things at the beginning of the semesters in science where we have all these new professors. So we line up 5 of them, and they speak for just 3 minutes each at an event in the Redpath Museum. We do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with a different bunch of professors every day. And here's is interesting. It was to promote our undergraduate research program in the Faculty of Science and to get people some idea of professors they could work with. But there's kind of a spooky thing about it, which goes back to the renewal of the professoriate. Every day I would try to mix people up, so because I get bored easily in my job, turns out. So I just say, we'll do one person from this department, one person from that department, one person from this department. We'll just do something different. You know, it's like a channel surfing or something. So we'll just go through everybody. And what I found, which is kind of spooky, is that people were self-organizing themselves into topics that there are right now in the world, I don't know, 5, 6 grand challenges in the world. And assistant professors who are starting their careers, they may say they want to publish or they want to get tenure. It's true. But they're also thinking about what they're going to be doing 40 years from now. There's nothing more strategic than a professor starting his career. And what I found is that there were people we hired in biology who were working on the nature of the ecology and invasive species, and there are people that we hired in computer science who are working on the nature of invasive species, and there are people in physics we hired who are working on the nature of invasive species. There are 5 or 6 grand challenges right now. One is the environment and sustainability, and people are voting with their feet, which is what I think is appropriate, in a university to do it. I think some of the tone of the two students when you're speaking was like people are apathetic. They're not, actually. They're not one bit. The professors that have been hired here over the last 6 or 7 years are starting to really take off. Now's the time to make a connection with them and go forward for McGill's future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. For some of us that have been here over the last 15 years and have seen this transformation happen in the university, I never thought that I would go from being a young professor to an old professor in the space of 7 years with the transformation that's happened. The distribution of age in this university has been fundamentally shifted.